In Arizona, there are about 21 hotshot crews. I have been a part of two different hotshot crews in Arizona. I spent the last 14 years fighting fire down there, primarily in Arizona and New Mexico, parts of California and West Texas. Having that experience, I know that the fires do and can move really fast, and sometimes they're unpredictable, and it's an unfortunate event that happened, and I'm still kind of processing that information. I've called and talked to a lot of my old hotshot buddies and just checking in with them and seeing how they're doing.
What kind of training do you have to go through before you can be deemed a so-called hotshot firefighter? It's a term we've been hearing a lot about lately in the media.
Typically, you have to go through a 40-hour class, and that gives you all the basic wildland fire training. Beyond that, the crews go through a high physical fitness regimen that some people don't pass. You do a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups, a lot of core type of work. We do a lot of hiking with backpacks. We do a lot of running, circuit training, anything to increase your cardiovascular system.
Sounds a little bit like the firefighter's equivalent of being a Marine. I mean, would you agree these are really the elite of the elite?
They are. It's a real dedicated group of folks. They're highly skilled, highly trained. I was just thinking back the other day, just in the course of my career in the last 14 years, even though you think that I have a lot of experience, you know, like, wow, that person has 14 years of experience in fighting fire out west, there's still a lot that a person can learn and needs to know when it comes to fighting fire. So even now, I still take training classes. I help teach classes to the younger firefighters, and it's kind of that esprit de corps that kind of keeps the fire program alive. Some of the crew from the Granite Mountain crew, I instructed a class for three or four of their overhead positions, some of their leadership positions, just last year down in Tucson. I've had that crew on my division as well.
Do you think there's a chance that some Vermont crews may be called out west to help with these fires if they continue to go out of control? And if so, what are Vermont crews doing to prepare?
We do have a chance of going, having a crew getting sent out there. We've assembled our folks. They continue to do training. They're all equipped with their gear and everything's ready. We're paying attention to what the weather conditions are out there. Every morning we have a morning briefing where we kind of go over the weather locally, but then we also want to look at what's happening nationally with fire so we can maybe try to anticipate where the need is going to be to help support the fires out west.
Jeremy, as you said, you knew some of this crew and you even trained with them, and it must have been really hard for you when you heard the terrible news of their deaths. And I'm sorry to have to ask you now about your relationship with those who did pass. If you can, though, would you mind sharing your thoughts on the friendships you developed with these men and what you learned about them over that course of time?
Well, Mitch, there's a lot of trust building that happens in a short amount of time, and you build these interpersonal relationships because of the sheer fact of the danger of what we do. You know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, I worked with the Granite Mountain Hotshot crew, and highly skilled, very professional, duty, integrity, and respect. They really emulate all the finest qualities of a firefighter, how they carry themselves, their disposition. It's really tough to put it into words of knowing those guys, and there's just a lot of camaraderie within the wildland fire arena. It's tough to know that we lost 19, some of the best and some of the brightest and some of the up-and-comers. You know, some of those firefighters were in their early 20s, and that's just a real tough thing for me to think about. You know, I've got two children of my own, 8 and 2, and I just think of the families that they either left behind or could have had. It's just a real sad moment for the Forest Service, but it's kind of an unspoken risk when you take the job that you kind of understand that there is that element of danger. I'm not sure what draws people to that, but at least for me, when I go out on fires, I'm accepting that risk by the job that I do. Does that make sense, Mitch?
It does, and it kind of leads to my last question I wanted to ask you, Jeremy, and that's that, you know, most of us civilians, we can go our whole lives without facing this kind of danger, and we may only think about these kind of life or death scenarios when we hear about tragic news like this, but I just wonder, as you're talking about the kind of person that's drawn to this kind of work and dedicate their lives to it, do you think about these things all the time, even during those times when you're just passing the time between emergency calls and there's not much to do?
I was thinking about about this the other day, is a couple of things I think that go through my mind. One is, when you're doing something like fighting fire, you're supporting something that's greater than yourself. So there's that component of service. And I guess along with that, there's also the fact that you're helping out people who are in need. So there's that sense of community there as well. I guess the biggest thing is this, is you feel doing this kind of work kind of makes you feel better about yourself, because of there's the reward at the end of the day that you either put the fire out or you saved someone's house. There's those smaller victories.
Jeremy Nelson is the Assistant Fire Management Officer for the Green Mountain National Forest. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.